The day of BS work is over. With students today, they're not buying it. They will balk and they will take an F and they will take their money and go elsewhere. They don't care about an F. They would rather stand their ground. They are the next civil rights movement type people. I try to tell people all the time, this group will take a stand. So you must give them meaningful tasks, something that really is empowering, and then allow them to create.
The Digital to Learn podcast is dedicated to exploring both what's new and what's good in the use of technology in teaching and learning.
Our mission is to have the best minds sitting in front of our microphones, sharing evidence-based strategies for digital teaching and learning.
Digital to Learn is brought to you by the Center for Learning and Innovation at Indiana Wesleyan University.
Thank you for joining us. And now, the Digital to Learn podcast.
Welcome to Digital to Learn. My name is Brad Garner. I'm here with my co-host, Tiffany Snyder.
Hi, everyone.
Welcome.
If you missed part one of this two-part conversation, you can access the first episode on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or the Digital to Learn website.
We are excited to welcome Nikki Bray to the Digital to Learn podcast. Welcome, Nikki.
Welcome, Nikki.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
So for faculty members or instructional designers who are in the audience, what kind of recommendations would you make to them for the design of online learning?
Well, I've had a lot of success using gamified learning. I tried it out in my small and large face-to-face classes. Then I turned around and tried it in my large online classes. Very same success. Matter of fact, we're just about done with setting all of our data up that we did in our research study this past spring. We're getting ready to run the analysis on that data. The data is very impressive. I'll just share a little snippet. And the success rates from students have been phenomenal. I used in my online class, I used the gamified learning. I had student that combined with some of the tools inside of the LMS, like I'm about to launch the adaptive learning this spring with this class. But before I had the chance to get that set up last spring, I used just things in the LMS. We used Desire to Learn at the University of Memphis, and I set up release conditions, unlimited quizzing attempts. And the students were allowed to take quizzes unlimited number of times. Once they made an 85 or higher on the quiz, that the next module would open up. And so students could move ahead. They weren't forced to, but they were allowed to. So they were given some sense of agency, similar to that in an adaptive space. You can use intelligent agents that are built into your LMS so that if a student's grade falls below or they do not log in a certain number of days in a row or whatever different factors you want, you can turn around and have it send them an email, send you an email, send the advisor an email, send their coach an email. If they're athletes, I mean, there's just lots of things that the systems can use. I just recommend you take advantage of that, particularly in an online and undergrad students world. Students creating things that and it being meaningful tasks. You know, the day of BS work is over. Students today, they're not buying it. They will balk and they will take an F and they will take their money and go elsewhere. Mm-hmm. They don't care about an F. They would rather stand their ground. They are the next civil rights movement type people. I try to tell people all the time, this group will take a stand. So you must give them meaningful tasks, something that really is empowering, and then allow them to create in tools like Powtoons. I mean, my students are creating amazing work with things like Powtoons. Make them create presentations like with Nearpod. If you're not using Nearpod, you should be using it yourself. Nearpod, but let students create things with Nearpods. My students create websites all the time. I have them write children's books. If they can take learning and break it down so a fifth grader can understand it, they've learned it. And it allows them to show their creativity or a comic book. So allow them to have choice. So maybe give them four or five opportunities, games, quizlets. I mean, just allow them to create things, because anytime they have to turn around and teach it, they learn it better.
Amen.
Yeah. So those are things I recommend.
I love two things about what you've been saying. The first one is some great ideas, some great strategies. But the second one that's probably equally important is every single word that you say is filled with passion. Mm-hmm. I can just hear by listening to you that this is one of the most important things in your life, and you live it out every day. So thank you for that.
Well, I appreciate that. And what I guess the biggest piece of advice I would have to say to faculty is Harry K. Wong would say, whoever is doing the work is doing the learning. Mm. Our job is to prepare students, the environment, the experience. But once that's set, who's doing the work? If you're lecturing all day, you're doing the work. Don't do the work. Make the students do the work. So, you know, prepare the environment, make students have to go dig and find. And when they do that work, they're going to be the ones they need to walk out content experts. And so, you know, what are we doing to make sure that they are mastering the content and are able to apply that? So mastering and applying it, you know, and then being able to have an artifact that shows that they've done that. That's critical. So, you know, if you're worn out, you know, and then it's, you're doing something wrong. I try to tell faculty all the time, you're doing it. You should be worn out from preparing. Once the semester starts, you should be able to enjoy class.
That is a great rule of
thumb. That's really great. You said that something that's coming up for you is really engaging this adaptive learning a little bit more and collecting more data on it. Could you tell us what that looks like to incorporate some more adaptive learning into your courses?
Well, we're piloting with LEAP. So D2L, Desire to Learn, actually has, so a few years ago they had LEAP. They took it down. They wanted to do some edits and things to it. They wanted to work on their product. They've brought it back here in the last couple of years, and we are doing a pilot. And so because we want to be able to scale, we've been using another platform, and it just hasn't been something that's been user-friendly for faculty. And at Memphis, we have to be very conscientious about how we spend monies with regards to innovating. So, you know, something like LEAP is a tool that is embedded inside of our learning management system. So our faculty already know how to use the LMS. So this is a no-brainer, right? Because if our faculty can use this tool already, hopefully, you know, we can scale this a lot faster than what we would be able to do otherwise. So we're really excited about using this tool. And so fingers crossed, we're in the middle of doing a pilot. Hopefully we'll do it the spring and the fall. We'll see what, you know, how, if we get to do both or not. But when we did our pilot in 2017, we did it with West Tennessee Healthcare in the nursing program. And we showed in the first semester alone a savings to the students, $205,000 just in the first semester. So, you know, because when you use adaptive, you can, oh my gosh, it's just so amazing what its potential is, but you can allow students to set the pace of their own learning, right? They can accelerate through the content. If they come in with more knowledge, they can move at the pace that's kind of set, you know, Carnegie seat time, you know, university calendar, or if they need more time, you know, in some areas and less time in others, they can kind of do that. But what's really amazing is right away, you can do a diagnostic exam and students say, oh, you know what, you've mastered 60% of this course. Students spend their time on what they have not mastered. Yeah. Not what they have already demonstrated mastery. But then if they demonstrate that they have forgotten, or in fact did not master, the system will pull in and automatically, unbeknownst to the student, it will automatically remediate them. Wow. So it's very, very personalized. And it's just fantastic. And again, you have to build all these supports in the beginning. It has to be in place from day one. You can't go running behind at the end like an afterthought. So the work is front loaded. But after that, you spend your time being the human. You spend your time supporting and emotional support. So anyway, that's the beauty of the adaptive learning piece. And that's what we're hoping that this the LEAP also affords us with that same kind of success rate, because it'll definitely be something that we can scale a lot better.
Yeah. And LEAP can be integrated into your learning management system?
It is already a part of. Mm. It's actually D2L's product.
Okay.
That's good to know.
Yeah, it is. So when you look ahead in the years to come, what kind of hopes or concerns do you have about the future of higher ed?
That's a really good question. You know, there was an article, and I can't remember if it was Chronicle of Higher Ed or EAB. I read so much every morning before my feet hit the floor. And it was interesting. I read an article this week that said, you know, one of the things that impacts enrollment the highest is our economy. Mm. You know, when we are in the middle of a recession, you know, we typically have higher enrollments, particularly by adults. They typically come back and start earning more degrees. But right. When we have low employment, unemployment rates, we typically see lower enrollments, even though, you know, we can't get students to understand that, you know, these jobs that are going to be replaced by robots, you know, these mundane kind of tasks, we can't get them to understand that these jobs are not solid, that you, you know, when you get a degree, you earn more long term over your life. We just don't understand why we can't get students to understand that when you get your degree, you're going to earn more money.
And you have more opportunities.
And you have more opportunities. And I like to tell students, you build doors of opportunities.
Right.
And I like having choices. If you tell me I cannot have Taco Bell tonight, you better believe I'm going at 12 o'clock at night in the middle of the night. So there's just something about you telling me what I can't do makes me want to do it even more. But maybe they're not that way. But, you know, I think that with us being in the information age where people have immediate access to the opinions of everybody else in this world at their fingertips.
Right.
And I think that the pressure is and will be on us as institutions to build better learning experiences for students, to provide better customer service, understanding that students are our customers, that they are in fact paying customers, that we are no longer conduits, like we are no longer these esteemed columns that are just for an elite people.
Right.
That higher ed is a place where all people belong, that we all deserve access and rights to a higher education. I just think that if these, I have a blog called Transforming Paradigms, and I chose the name of that. It took me a week to come up with that name, and I researched the definition of those terms very, very carefully, and I have a caterpillar turning into a butterfly as my logo. I chose that very specifically because I really think that in higher ed, those that actually go through that transformation are going to survive and thrive. And those that do not are going to be the ones that are closing their doors and are not going to make it. And so, because if you don't adjust to the changing times, students have too many choices.
Absolutely.
They're just not going to choose you. I mean, I wouldn't. I need to go to see my doctor in a couple of weeks. And what did I do? I got online. I started reading reviews. I was looking for the ones who had 5 stars. I didn't even want one that had 4 stars, 4.5 stars. I was looking for the best. I looked for the one closest, most convenient. I mean, I looked for all of that. Then I read the comments. And then I'll tell you, the comment was, spent the most time with me, was the most kind and caring and considerate. And I said, I'm going. And I chose that doctor today because of that. And I went, I mean, it took me 45 minutes to search for a doctor, and that was how I chose my doctor today.
Yeah.
Well, and what you're describing is higher education as a service industry.
Yeah.
And really, right. We should be serving our students. Mm-hmm.
That does not mean, and I want to be clear about this, that does not mean we're lowering the rigor.
Right.
That just means that we've got to stop turning our nose to students as if, you know, nope, you know, I do not owe you a response. I do not have to answer your email. I do not have to give you feedback. You know, you are at whatever my leisure. You earned an F. You just can't cut it. That's a bold-faced lie. The reality is you're not designing courses. You're not designing the supports. You know, if any faculty would like to argue with me, I'd say, please just open your course and let's just sit down, and I'm happy to go through that with you. I'm very opinionated, educated. I'm just very, and I'm getting, my passion is overtaking me. But I am very much like strongly, like if you show it to me, let's just sit down and let's take a look at it. So let me just reel my energy back in here. Let's just sit down, take a look. And I'm sure that we can, after we get through combing through some of this, I can show you some ways in which you could support your students, not dumbing it down, not watering it down. You can still challenge students at an extremely high level, most likely at a level even beyond what you're trying to do now. And if you would put the right supports in, students will leave more satisfied, more prepared, and they'll be telling everybody they know about it, and they'll line up trying to take your class. They just demand a certain excellence these days.
They do.
Because we're in a world of the information age where you can communicate with one another just like that, and they don't have to tolerate it. And why should they?
Yeah.
They're paying customers.
I just made a note to myself never to engage in an argument with Nikki Bray on any topic about which she is passionate. Because you have it. That's good stuff.
Students are why we come every day,
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
Students, we just have to keep fighting for students. And, you know, I'm not in for giving students a cakewalk or a free ride. You know, I mean, I'm quick to, you know, fuss at my students. I'm quick to call them on the carpet. You know, if they've got to bring their effort, they've got to do their part. But, you know, we have to do our part. We have to make a way. We have to make sure that, you know, we walk the walk if we're going to talk the talk.
Absolutely.
And we're just not doing it. You and I both know, I mean, all of us sitting here in this conversation know that faculty, we don't walk the walk. We love to talk the talk, but we're not doing our job as well as we need. Now, I tell people all the time, you design your courses the way you design your research. You design your courses the way you design that proposal for that research, that proposal for that grant. And I bet you don't have very many students fail in your classes.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing with us today. Lots of good information.
Yes.
But also your passion for what you do and what you believe. That's exciting to hear.
Yeah.
I really do appreciate the opportunity to share. I mean, I hope I don't offend too many people, but what I feel like I'm sharing is the truth, and our students do matter. They are our next generation of leaders. We owe it to them to really give them the very best education that we can and, you know, take advantage of our instructional designers, you know, the different leaders. Faculty want to throw their nose at these instructional designers and people like that. Faculty support that we have on campuses, and it's hard enough to get academic leaders to buy into that as it is. Faculty really need to lean on these experts that universities leaders are now starting to put in place. And I just want to encourage faculty to really take advantage. You know, if you will just really allow these trained individuals to come in and really help you, you'll see a dramatic difference in how much your students are truly learning in your classroom.
Nikki, thank you so much for being with us on Digital to Learn today. We're going to direct folks to our website and where they can get some additional resources that you've mentioned.
Quotes.
You've shared a lot with us today, and we appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
All righty.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on Digital to Learn.
If you enjoyed this podcast, there are three things we ask you to do. One, come back and join us again. Two, tell your friends about us. And three, give us a positive ranking on your favorite podcast platform.
Digital to Learn is brought to you by the Center for Learning and Innovation at Indiana Wesleyan University.
It's a digital world.
Always keep learning.